I'd like to offer you the words of the biologist Lauren Isley about the time before flowers and then how flowers came and changed all that. Once upon a time, there were no flowers at all. A little while ago, about 100 million years, flowers were not to be found anywhere on the continents. Wherever one might have looked, from the poles to the equator, one would have seen only the cold, dark, monotonous green of a world whose plant life possessed no other color. Somewhere, just a short time before the close of the Age of Reptiles, there occurred a soundless, violent explosion. It lasted millions of years, but it was an explosion nonetheless. It marked the emergence of the angiosperms, the flowering plants. Even the great evolutionist Charles Darwin called them an abominable mystery because they appeared so suddenly and spread so fast. Flowers changed the face of the planet. Without them, the world we know would never have existed. Before the coming of the flowering plants, our own ancestral stock, the warm-blooded mammals, consisted of a few mousy little creatures hidden in trees in the underbrush, a few lizard-like birds with cavernous teeth flapped awkwardly on ill-aimed flights among archaic shrubbery. The ramifications of this biological invention of flowers were endless. Plants traveled as they had never traveled before. They got into strange environments heretofore never entered by the old spore plants or stiff pine cone seed plants. The well-fed, carefully cherished little embryos raised their heads everywhere. Many of the older plants with more primitive reproductive mechanisms began to fade away under this unequal contest. They contracted their image, their range into secluded environments. Some, like the giant redwoods, lingered on as relics. Many vanished entirely. The world of these giants was a dying world. The fantastic little seeds skipping and hopping and flying about the woods and valleys brought with them an amazing adaptability. If our whole lives had not been spent in the midst of it, it would astound us. The old, stiff, sky-reaching wooden world had changed into something that glowed here and there with strange colors, put out queer, unheard-of fruits and little, intricately carved seed cases, and most important of all, produced concentrated foods in a way that had never been seen before or dreamed of back in the fish-eating, leaf-crunching days of the dinosaurs. Flowering plants had taken over the world. Without the gift of flowers and the infinite diversity of their fruits, human and bird, if they had continued to exist at all, would be today unrecognizable. Archaeopteryx, the lizard bird, might still be snapping at beetles on a sequoia limb. Humans might still be nocturnal insectivores gnawing a roach in the dark. The weight of a petal has changed the face of the world and made it ours. As we celebrate flowers today, it's amazing to think about that vast change that occurred when flowers appeared. Imagine a world without the flowers. There would be no grasses, no wheat to make bread, no cotton for clothing, no popcorn, no chocolate, how terrible, no pumpkins for Halloween. And of course, as the biologist Lauren Isley points out, we and many of today's animals wouldn't be here if flowers had never evolved. It was the nectar, fruits, and seeds that flowers produced. Seeds with their concentrated food energy and their unique ability to reproduce that made it possible for life to evolve the way it did. Leading up to thinking and creative creatures like ourselves. In our flower communion service, the flowers we bring and go home with symbolize the gifts that each of us bring to this religious community. We observe the traditional flower communion service in remembrance of a special person in our history, the Reverend Dr. Norbert Čapek. He was the founder of the Unitarian movement in Czechoslovakia. It was Dr. Čapek who designed and conducted the first flower communion service on June 4th, 1923, in Prague, Bohemia. Čapek had been head of all the Baptist churches in Bohemia, but he began to embrace a more liberal theology, so he left the Baptist faith and eventually founded the Unitarian movement there. Many of the members of his Prague Unitarian congregation found that the ceremonies, hymns, and rituals of their former religions no longer met their needs. So Čapek wrote new hymns and designed new ceremonies. The flower communion service was one of the most popular of his new ceremonies, and it is widely celebrated in Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist circles to this day. The Reverend Dr. Čapek, unfortunately, was imprisoned at Dachau by the Nazis for his liberal political and religious ideas. In that concentration camp, Čapek helped to keep spirits up by singing and creating hymns, some of which were smuggled out and which therefore survived, although Čapek himself did not. He died at Dachau, a victim of the Nazis' infamous medical experiments. Three of his hymns appear in our current hymn book, like the one we sang together earlier. As in the flower communion services that Dr. Čapek himself conducted, these bright flowers here today represent each of us. We each bring our unique gifts to this congregation, and together they make an impressive bouquet. In a few minutes, we'll have our children come back in, and we will each take a different flower home, just as we take with us in our hearts the gifts of friendship and community that others bring here. We have imagined a world without the gifts that flowers bring. Now imagine a world without what today's flowers symbolize. That is, without us, without people. I can almost hear some of you thinking, a world without people, that might be a better, more beautiful world. Because we humans have messed up the environment so much, and we create such havoc with our wars and our irrational prejudices. So maybe the world is better off without us. But without us, without the particular consciousness that we human beings bring to this planet, who would be here to stand in awe before a field of flowers? Who would be here to appreciate and revere the natural world as we do? We humans are the only ones on the planet with the ability not only to admire natural beauty, but to create beauty as no other creatures can, in works of art, in music, in poetry, in literature, and dance. And we are the creatures who have become self-aware, who have developed rich, complex, and varied cultures, who create beautiful rites and rituals to honor and celebrate life, who reach toward broader spiritual consciousness, who love deeply and selflessly. Other creatures on this planet may have developed some rudimentary abilities like ours. Whales and dolphins, some believe, communicate through a simple language. Chimpanzees have even been known to be able to symbolize through sign language and create words that way. I remember reading about a pack of beagle dogs who engaged in a kind of simple funeral rite for a dead companion, circling around the companion and howling. And I once heard in a philosophy class about a gorilla in the wild who, when his companions came each day to a field at sunset to frantically gather fruit before the others beat them to it, who gave up his fruit gathering time to stare westward for a long time, apparently admiring the beauty of the sunset. But these wondrous abilities, and so many more, have reached their full flowering in us. Through us, the earth has become personal, conscious, full of wonder, and loving. So may we be thankful for the many gifts of the earth, for flowers, trees, oceans, and streams, for the wondrous creatures that share this dwelling, and for each other, for the gifts we each bring to and we each take away from that blessed gift that is human community. I'd like to return briefly to Dr. Chapek, the founder of our Flower Communion, and read a few of his words that he wrote while he was imprisoned at Dachau. It is worthwhile to live and fight courageously for sacred ideals. Oh, blow you evil winds into my body's fire. My soul, you'll never unravel. Even though disappointed 1,000 times or fallen in the flight and everything would worthless seem, I have lived amidst eternity. Be grateful, my soul. My life was worth living. Although Chapek died tragically, his life was a celebration. Imagine him getting everyone to sing and march around, even in a dismal Nazi concentration camp. Perhaps because he got his fellow prisoners to sing, lifting their spirits, some of them survived the ordeal. And his memory survives in Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist flower communion services throughout the world, when we bring together so many different flowers and share this beauty, beauty that is the colorful laughter of the earth, as Emerson put it. And we remember Chapek and celebrate the grandeur and the diversity of this human spirit that we share.